Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the importance of becoming a regular systematic reader of the Bible. By regular reader, I mean reading every day or as close to that as possible. By systematic reading, I mean read each book of the New Testament from start to finish. You don't jump around. You don't read random verses. You don't stop to look up words you don't understand. You don't get out the concordance or the commentary. You just read. Understanding comes with familiarity. I'm not saying you can't read random verses or you can't stop to look up words, but do that at another time. Set aside some time each day, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or as close to that as possible, and read. Read as far as you can get, put a marker in there, and pick up there the next day. We don't read out of religious obligation or to earn brownie points from God. We read for the same reason we eat food. Just as food is vital for our physical well-being, God's Word is vital to our spiritual well-being. We get to know God through the Bible. People want to know, how can I know God more? There's only one way, and that's through getting to know Him through His revelation of Himself, the Bible. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed through the written Word. Now, what we're focusing on this week is the fact that the Bible will give you hope for the future and courage for the present. That's another reason to become a regular systematic reader of the New Testament. We're living at the end of the age, and the Scripture makes it very clear that perilous times, fierce times, will precede the return of the Lord. But the Bible will help us understand and navigate through this period. Now, the men whom God used to write the New Testament, we said yesterday, they were all either eyewitnesses of the events they wrote about, or they were close associates of eyewitnesses. And their writings are historically accurate books. We could do the whole lesson just on that. They are eyewitness accounts or the testimony of eyewitnesses about Jesus' ministry, His death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the Gospels. And then the epistles were written by some of the apostles to believers whom they led to saving knowledge of Jesus. And the epistles deal with what Christians believe and how we're supposed to live. The men whom God used to write the New Testament understood that a plan is unfolding. God's plan of redemption. God's plan to deliver mankind and the earth from bondage to sin, Satan, corruption, and death. The men whom God used to write the New Testament understood this. They understood that a plan is unfolding. They lived their lives in the light of it, and they instructed that first generation of believers to do the same. And the Bible does that still for us yet, to live our lives in light of the fact that a plan is unfolding. And there's more to life than just this life. See, that information permeates the New Testament. The writers of the New Testament expected Jesus to return to complete the plan of redemption. Only four of the New Testament writings contain no reference to the return of Jesus, and three of them are short personal letters. Galatians, Philemon, and 2 and 3 John don't make any reference to the second coming of Jesus. Philemon, 2 and 3 John were short personal letters. Galatians was written to deal with false teaching that was affecting churches in an area known as Galatia. But all the rest of them make reference to the return of Jesus because they knew He was coming back. Luke records Jesus' first message to believers after he returned to heaven. Now, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. And Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, verse 11, he records Jesus' first message to his followers when, after Jesus returned to heaven. Chapter 1, Jesus went to the cross, rose from the dead, spent 40 more days on earth with his followers, and then the day came for him to leave, and he and his followers walked out to the Mount of Olives, which is just outside of Jerusalem, and he was taken up before them back into heaven. Well, two angels appeared almost immediately with a message from him. The angels said, "This same Jesus whom you've seen go shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." In other words, these angelic beings from heaven came with this message from Jesus: "I'll be back." Peter, in one of his first recorded sermons in Acts chapter 3, proclaimed that Jesus had returned to heaven until the times of the restitution of all things. That's Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Until the times of the restitution of all things. Restitution in the Greek language means to restore something to its former state. Or the Living Bible says it this way: until the final recovery of all things from heaven. Peter, Paul, they lived with the consciousness that Jesus is coming back. Paul's writings are laced with statements about the age in which we live coming to an end and a new one beginning when Jesus returns. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul was instructing the Corinthian church about how to receive communion, how to conduct the Lord's Supper. They got out of hand and were doing some stuff they shouldn't have been doing. I'm not going to take time to read it, but he repeated to them what Jesus said. Well, no, I think I am going to turn over there and read this specific statement. You've heard it, but maybe you didn't notice what is being said. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. "And after the same manner also he," that would be Jesus, "took this cup of the New Testament." "And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, you've heard that before. That's actually a quote from Jesus, which is also recorded in the Gospels. "Do this in remembrance of me." But listen to the next verse. Paul went on to say, now Paul was personally taught the gospel he preached by Jesus himself. Jesus appeared to Paul a number of times after that initial Damascus Road encounter. And Paul added this comment, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Till he come. Did you know that communion, which we do in remembrance of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, we're also supposed to do it remembering that he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, Paul talked about the end of this age and the world that is to come. There is a world coming, a future world. The way things are is not the way they're always going to be. Let me read it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come." I'm not going to explain that verse at all. We don't have the time. But notice the phrase. Paul made reference to the world to come. Rotherham's translation says the coming habitable earth. This is a whole lesson for another day, but God is going to make this world new. He's not going to destroy this world. He's going to release it from the curse of corruption and death that entered in when Adam sinned and make it new. Make it new. Not make a new world, but make this present world new. This future world, the coming habitable earth. Earth made new. See, we're part of something bigger than ourselves, friends. And knowledge of the big picture, the overall plan of God, gives this life, this present life, meaning and purpose from which we can draw hope and courage. The Apostle Peter faced a martyr's death. He died a martyr. I'm sure you know that. His second epistle, Second Peter was written just before he died. He knew he was going to die soon. And if you read the letter, that's very clear. He knew he was going to die. But let me read this one comment that he made. He said, I'm in chapter 3. From verses 10 through 12, he gives a description of the transformation that's going to take place in this earth and make this world new when Jesus comes. And the very next verse, after he describes this world being made new, verse 13, he says, "Nevertheless, we, according to God's promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwell." He faced death as a martyr with the hope that this world will be made new and he'll be part of it. New here means new in quality and superior in character as opposed to new in time. The Greek word that's used here for new earth. "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." New there doesn't mean new in the sense of something that never existed before. New there means new, the same thing that's always existed, made new in quality and superior in character. Paul also faced death with that same awareness. He wrote 2 Timothy knowing that he was soon to die. Let me start in chapter 4, verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let me drop down to verse 18. "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." He faced death with the awareness that there's more to come. The Lord will keep me and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, and there are rewards awaiting me for my faithful service. See, knowledge from God's word of the overall plan, the fact that God is working out a plan to transform sinners into holy righteous sons and to restore this earth to a fit forever home for his family, the fact that God is working out a plan and that through faith in Christ we have a place in that plan, gives us purpose and it gives us hope for the future and courage in the present. No matter how crazy times get, he will preserve us unto that heavenly kingdom. Read your Bible. More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.